It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Happening overnight, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, better known as DACA, is being protected now by a federal judge. President Trump had announced that the program would be ending March 5th, meaning current DACA immigrants could face deportation, but the judge's ruling orders the government to accept renewal applications from current Dreamers as the battle continues to be fought both in the courts and in Congress.
I hope that the folks watching most closely this court's temporary injunction are the members in Congress who need to act to find a permanent fix for the Dreamers.
The move puts another level of pressure on Congress and the president to come up with a solution.
And a spokesperson for the Justice Department is responding to that judge's ruling, saying that the administration acted within their legal authority, taking that action to phase down the DACA program. And they say that the administration and Congress have a responsibility to come up with a solution.
All right, that was ABC, and this is Sandy Rios in the morning. So while you were sleeping, yet more mischief continues to happen. Judge in San Francisco decides that the president cannot delay the DACA program, and so he issues a ruling. And, of course, who's to stop him? Evidently, no one. And so yesterday, of course, you know, you saw it, right? You watched the news, and you saw that President Trump held like a board meeting in the Oval Office, where he invited the press in, and you get to watch negotiations, a negotiation in which the president indicated that he would agree with whatever the congressional leaders in that room came up with on immigration. He said, I'll take the fall. Whatever you decide, I'll take the fall. John Roberts did a report on it last night. Let's at least listen to the first part. Here it is.
It's something that we've never seen before. Typically, the press pool goes into a presidential event for a few minutes just at the top to hear a couple of perfunctory statements. But today, the pool stayed for nearly an hour and watched almost an entire meeting.
My positions are going to be what the people in this room come up with.
With the clock running on a March 5th deadline to find a legislative solution on the so-called Dreamers, President Trump brought Republicans and Democrats together at the White House with the cameras rolling.
I feel having the Democrats in with us is absolutely vital because this should be a bipartisan bill. This should be a bill of love. Truly, it should be a bill of love, and we can do that.
It started with public statements tailored for TV coverage, but over time, the lenses appeared to fade into the background, and lawmakers got down to some real position setting and negotiation. Senator Lindsey Graham suggesting a DACA fix could be the opening bid for another stab at comprehensive immigration reform.
I'm not going to support a bill if you don't support it.
If we do this properly, DACA, you're not so far away from comprehensive immigration reform. And if you want to take it that further step, I'll take the heat. I don't care. I'll take all the heat you want to give me. And I'll take the heat off both the Democrats and the Republicans. My whole life has been heat. I like heat in a certain way.
With all due respect, Bob and Mike and Lindsey, there are some things that you're proposing that are going to be very controversial and will be an impediment to agreement.
But you're going to negotiate those things. You're going to sit down. You're going to say, listen, we can't agree here. We'll give you half of that. You're going to negotiate those things.
Comprehensive means comprehensive. No.
The president went into the meeting demanding security provisions, a wall, an end to chain migration, ending the visa lottery and more ICE agents in return for a DACA fix.
All right, so that's the first part of John Roberts' report on Fox last night. So you can see kind of what's happening here, can't you? You can see that maybe there's a lot of wiggle room on this issue of immigration. Maybe there isn't such a digging his heels in on the campaign trail response to what the outcome should be. I think many people are concerned about what we saw and what was televised of that meeting yesterday in Washington. We're going to spend a great deal of time talking about that today. But I want to, before, and we'll do that in just a second, but before we get into that, at the same time, in the headlines, all over are gleeful reports of Steve Bannon stepping down from Breitbart News. It's everywhere. And I couldn't help but reflect on what Steve was very well known for. Remember his mantra, keep your promises, keep your promises, keep your promises. He had a board in his office in the White House that said that, keep your promises. And that's what he said every time he went out to speak, keep your promises. He put himself in the position of trying to create a movement that would hold the president's feet to the fire on his promises. And so while others are gloating and thrilled that Steve Bannon is being destroyed, you know, this is, it's funny, isn't it? I mean, in a really dark way, dark comedy, we should say, how people love to watch people being destroyed. The thrill of it is just amazing. We saw it with Justice Moore. You know, we're seeing it with Steve Bannon. Of course, there's a whole parade of people before that. Usually people that are conservative stalwarts. I think one of Steve Bannon's biggest sins was that he supported Roy Moore. And you just cannot support someone who believes that marriage should be between a man and a woman and believes in the biblical view of sexuality. That was probably a bridge too far. And that may be part of the impetus why he's out. I can think of that. I think I posted, we should put this on our Facebook page again. The gif, they call it, of Mitch McConnell just grinning from ear to ear at the news of Steve Bannon being in trouble with the president, just thrilled, just a real smirky grin. And so, I mean, he has a lot to gain. And I'll give you, well, Mitch McConnell and his forces have a lot to gain. So does the left. Because Steve Bannon was the keep your promises person. And then another headline, which you may or may not have noticed yesterday, reminded me of why we're going to miss Steve Bannon, assuming he doesn't have another position, a public position in the upcoming 2018 elections. Joe Arpaio is throwing his hat into the Senate race in Arizona. Now, keep in mind, Kelly Ward had already thrown her hat in. She was 20 points ahead of Jeff Flake before Jeff Flake dropped out. So now Sheriff Arpaio is throwing his hat in the same ring. Sheriff Arpaio, who I love, I really do love this man. I think he's such an American hero. He's 85 years old. So I'm wondering what might happen in a race for that seat. Do you suppose having Sheriff Arpaio jump in might split the votes? And do you suppose that the McConnells and their types and all their millions in the Karl Roves might try to run another candidate that's more to their liking over that split vote? I know it's never happened before. I know they've never done that before, but they might try it in Arizona. But of course, I'm being ridiculous. They do it everywhere all the time. And there is no Steve Bannon now organizing the forces to try to consolidate people around a candidate in each of the districts in 2018. I think it's just, it's very concerning to me. So when you see the rejoicing on the demise of Steve Bannon, remember, regardless, I don't even know exactly what Steve said or didn't say. We're finding out that Michael Wolff is a liar. He's making it more and more apparent. There are long articles talking about all the lies in his book. And yet, Steve Bannon's part of that book is treated as gospel. And of course, he's out and he's aided. And a White House source said they don't think that he'll ever be able to reconcile at the White House because he, in this book, said things against President Trump's family. And that was a bridge too far. I think that if Steve said that, I think it's, and he has not denied saying any of those things. I think he was very concerned about the influence, not of Donald Trump Jr., but of Ivanka and Jared Kushner, which anybody close to the White House watching, any of us that are conservatives would understand why it's a huge problem and why so much of the bad policy and personnel that's come out of the White House has been because of their presence there and their active lobbying of the president to come back their way to what Ted Cruz used to call New York values. So there you go. That's what's happening on that front. Only God can sort of help us sort through this. And again, as I said a few days ago, that puts the onus on you and me to be more responsible in this upcoming election, meaning to be more informed personally. Do not under any circumstances await for the general election. It's too late. You might as well stay home. In fact, get involved before the primary. Find out who the candidates are. Work for them. If you don't have the money to give, make phone calls. You can vet these candidates. A lot of things are available online. And remember that if the establishment starts hitting someone really hard, and if you hear some really bad things about them, you can take that with a grain of salt. You can understand that they would love to destroy all the potential Roy Moores, the Steve Bannons who want the president to keep his promises. All of those people are going to be attacked and destroyed. The kinds of people that you would want to serve in public office, they're going to have a tough time. Many of them won't even run because of all this. So that's kind of our circumstance this morning as I view it. So much more to tell you. I'm going to move on. Catherine Herridge gave an update on a Fusion GPS. This is pretty fascinating stuff. So let's listen to Catherine, then I have some comments.
According to the transcript, Simpson told Senate investigators former British spy Christopher Steele went to the FBI in July 2016, the same month the Bureau opened its Russia investigation, and again in September 2016 because Steele feared candidate Trump could be blackmailed. Simpson said Steele went further, claiming the FBI had a human source to corroborate. They, the FBI, believed Chris's information might be credible because they had other intelligence that indicated the same thing, and one of those pieces of intelligence was a human source from inside the Trump organization. But this was disputed by sources close to Simpson once the transcript was public, who told the Washington Post and NBC News the reference was to intelligence provided by the Australian ambassador about a Trump campaign aide, George Papadopoulos. Simpson's attorney, Joshua Levy, did not respond to Fox's request for further clarification. In the transcript, the same lawyer claimed an individual was dead after the dossier was published a year ago this month. He, Simpson, wants to be very careful to protect his sources, Levy said. Somebody's already been killed as a result of the publication of this dossier, and no harm should come to anybody related to this honest work. Simpson told Senate investigators that Steele cut off contact with the FBI in late October 2016 after then FBI Director James Comey notified Congress that he was reopening the Clinton email case and a media report that the FBI had found no connections to Russia. Chris severed his relationship with the FBI out of concern that he didn't know what was happening inside the FBI, and there was a concern that the FBI was being manipulated for political ends by the Trump people. The transcript was released today unilaterally by the Senate Judiciary Committee's ranking Democrat Dianne Feinstein, who said innuendo and misinformation about the transcript undermine the investigation. The committee's Republican Chairman Chuck Grassley called the decision confounding because the investigation is ongoing and Feinstein's actions undermine the integrity of the committee and jeopardize its ability to secure candid voluntary testimony in the future. And as Fox News first reported in November, Simpson met with the Russian lawyer Natalia Veselnitskaya before and after the June 2016 Trump Tower meeting, but Simpson insisted he knew nothing about it.
Okay, Catherine Herridge, and quickly, this is complex, but let me do my best to kind of help you understand, if it's possible to do that quickly. Glenn Simpson of Fusion GPS, as far as I'm concerned, is a completely unreliable, dishonest person, and I'll tell you why I think that. If you read Andy McCarthy's report on the background on Christopher Steele, the former British agent, and on Glenn Simpson, you can see that dossier, which I'm not going to explain because I have so many times before, was presented as fact to media. Christopher Steele briefed places, you know, the New York Times, the Washington Post, other outlets, as though he actually was sure about all the details, the sources, and everything. But when he was called to testify in Great Britain, because a lawsuit was filed against him by someone mentioned in the dossier, who's a Russian businessman, he under oath then sort of hedged, equivocated. He wasn't quite sure. He wasn't sure about the sources. He wasn't sure that they'd have been, and then he claimed it hadn't been verified, and he never intended for it to be taken as fact. And so now we have Glenn Simpson claiming, you know, oh, it's this trustworthy dossier, and then also claiming that someone was killed as a result of releasing this, which many of us believe, because he will not say who or why or what the circumstances were, that this is just another way of trying to present the dossier as though it's something. We don't believe that he's really telling the truth. I'm just telling you that right now. In Catherine's earlier report, she kind of indicated that. The report we just heard there, she was a little bit more careful. But there's no reason, actually, based on the history here with this dossier, to believe Christopher Steele or Glenn Simpson. And by the way, Christopher Steele is being, two senators are thinking about bringing charges to him of lying to the FBI. There's so much more to say, but I'm going to have to move on because we're going to talk about immigration with Hans von Spakovsky and the president's meeting yesterday. Stay tuned.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or more importantly, if you signed up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program that's been around for 25 years, and they have hundreds of thousands of members all across the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $1 billion of each other's medical bills. Best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money. Think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have a lot to offer? Well, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more, and there's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23. 855-PSALM-23.
Hi, I'm Ben Calhoun from Citizen Way, and I personally have seen how destructive drug and alcohol abuse can be. We know exactly what it's like to see someone have Jesus change their lives and set them free from those addictions.
My grandma left me an inheritance check for $10,000. That money that was meant to be for me and my family, I blew it on drugs and partying within 3 months. It was amazing how the people at Teen Challenge were so open and welcoming. Almost a year later, here I am, just really thankful for what God has done in my life, and being a true follower of Christ has really just changed everything.
Teen Challenge helps teens and adults across the country end their addictions through the power of Jesus Christ. If you or a loved one is ready to experience a new life of freedom and hope, you can call Teen Challenge toll-free at 1-855-END-ADDICTION or visit teenchallengeusa.com.
You're listening to American Family Radio.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Peter Koh, and I'm a business major, and this is my junior year at the college. What I love about the athletics here at Truett McConnell University is the coaches and their side of trying to teach sports from a biblical mindset with sportsmanship involved, and it really changes the way that you pursue the game, not just passionately doing it for other people, but also for yourself and to glorify God in that, which is completely different from most other schools.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
Students at Florida Gulf Coast University can take all sorts of classes, gender studies, English lit, social justice 101, but a class on white racism is causing all sorts of campus chaos. Professor Ted Thornhill is offering a class that covers white supremacy. The sociology professor also explores laws and policies he says have allowed white people to discriminate. As you might imagine, not everyone's too keen on the professor's mission, some going so far as to accuse the professor of reverse racism, guilting white students simply because of the color of their skin, advancing the false notion that white people have special privileges because they are white. Florida Gulf Coast defends the class, but it does make you wonder, why should our tax dollars be used to pay for a class that flies in the face of the notion that we should judge people on the content of their character instead of the color of their skin? I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
62% of the Trump voters support a pathway to citizenship for the DACA kids if you have strong borders. You have created an opportunity here, Mr. President, and you need to close the deal.
We can agree on some very fundamental and important things together on border security, on chain, on the future of diversity visas. Comprehensive, though, I worked on it for 6 months. We don't have 6 months for the DACA.
We're not talking about
if we do this properly, DACA, you're not so far away from comprehensive immigration reform. And if you want to take it that further step, I'll take the heat. I don't care. I'll take all the heat you want to give me. And I'll take the heat off both the Democrats and the Republicans. My whole life has been heat.
Sandy Rios back with you. Well, that's, of course, a sound clip from that meeting in the Oval Office yesterday, or in the White House anyway. And you first heard Senator Lindsey Graham assuring the president that 62% of Trump voters want you to do something about DACA. As long as you secure the border, do something about the border. They want you to legalize these DACA recipients. And then, of course, Dick Durbin, that trusted source of information on immigration, who always puts America's interests first, weighs in with his comments. And then the president says he'll take the heat and indicates he's all in favor of this. And last night, I told you already at the beginning of the show, a judge ruled against the Trump administration on his rescission of DACA, said, no, you can't stop that. We now have decided last night, I guess after the meeting, a judge in San Francisco suddenly woke up and decided he might be able to stop the president from stopping DACA, and so he did. I've asked Hans von Spakovsky of Heritage Foundation to join us this morning because Hans knows a lot about this. Hans, good morning.
Good morning, Sandy.
All right, so I don't even know where to begin. First of all, on the issue of DACA, which we talked about a lot, but we have to talk about it again. Do you believe Lindsey Graham's statistic that 62% of Trump voters are all in favor of legalizing DACA recipients if there's border security?
No, I don't think that's quite correct. And particularly, the polling changes when you actually explain who the DACA beneficiaries are. In that clip that you had, they keep talking about the DACA kids. Sorry, but the 700,000 individuals, illegal aliens, who got DACA benefits under Obama's program, they're not kids. A majority of them are adults. And there's all kinds of other problems with the mythical image projected of these DACA recipients. You know, the image in the media is these are all college-educated individuals who came here when they were two or three, therefore they don't speak the language of their native countries. That's not actually what the demographics show. The DACA program, you were eligible up until your 16th birthday. So a lot of these people were teenagers when they came to the U.S. Not only that, but speaking English was not a requirement of the DACA program. And so probably at least a quarter, according to one study I found, of these DACA beneficiaries are functionally illiterate in English. Moreover, college-educated, a majority of the DACA beneficiaries never got even a high school education, even though they're now adults. So that image disappears of the well-educated, highly skilled person who's fluent in English, and instead you get people who are functionally illiterate in English or can barely speak English, but poorly educated, low-skilled, and if we give them amnesty and citizenship, what's going to happen? They're going to be a huge burden on the American taxpayer because of the government benefits they're going to take in terms of Medicaid and Social Security and welfare, et cetera.
Yes, and also there's the chain migration situation where they bring their parents and
right.
Then the benefits are given to them. It really is an endless bevy of American money being poured down. And so the alternative, Hans, before we move on, because there's a lot to discuss, the alternative then would be to say, like we did to Ecuador on Monday, you've been here, you've been granted temporary status, it's time to go back home. That would be the alternative, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. And for people who say, oh, you don't want to break up families, well, what responsible parents are not going to take their children with them? In other words, if you deport illegal parents who came here, the ones responsible for bringing these kids, what, they're going to abandon their children and not take them home with them back to their native countries? I mean, please, that's not the way responsible parents work.
You know, let me just interject that Hans has written an article, which we'll put on our Facebook page, called Not So Beautiful Dreamers, The Reality Behind the Media Airbrushing. All right, so then yesterday we watched that meeting in the White House. I know you were watching, Hans. I just want to know your thoughts. I'm hearing the media spin on it. Did you feel that Donald Trump was extending way too big of an olive branch, or do you still have hope that he'll be tough on this?
Well, I'm still hoping he'll be tough on it, and I think he's engaging in negotiation, which he likes to do. What's so disturbing about all of this is that it gives me a feeling of deja vu. And what I mean by that is, remember, in 1986, Democrats approached President Reagan and said, listen, we'll give you border security, increased enforcement, if you provide amnesty for the illegal aliens already in the country. Reagan signed on to that, and then what happened was we gave amnesty to 2.7 million illegal aliens, and Congress reneged on the deal and didn't do border security, didn't provide increased enforcement. And what did that amnesty do? it attracted even more illegal aliens. Within 10 years, we had almost 6 million new illegal aliens in the country. Many of them had come to join their families and friends who'd been legalized, and others clearly came because they thought, well, the American government's provided amnesty once, we better get there because they'll probably do it again, and that's exactly what's happening now.
You know, I made an observation before you joined me this morning. You know, one of the other big headlines today in the last 24 hours is that Steve Bannon has left Breitbart, and there's a great joy over his destruction, just like there was over Justice Moore and others. You know, there's a whole lineup of people that have been destroyed, their reputations destroyed. And I just remembered, Hans, that Steve was famous for his Keep Your Promises board in his office, and that was his mantra when he would go out. Keep your promises, keep your promises. And, of course, he was talking about the president. In his absence, there's really no one to do that except for Stephen Miller, who's in the White House, who, of course, was the guru on immigration for Senator Jeff Sessions when he served in the Senate. So that's just an observation there. I'm sure they're thrilled that Steve Bannon is gone because there's no one there to really continually say keep your promises. And I want to interject something. Numbers USA is probably the largest grassroots organization on immigration, and they are urging people to call their congressman to remind the president to demand an end to chain migration and the visa lottery, and also E-Verify. So if you're interested, and if there's something you want to do about this, you can go to Numbers USA. Numbers USA, they'll make it very simple for you, and you can weigh in, and you can contact your congressperson and express your opinion on that. Hans, yesterday... Chairman Goodlatte of the Judiciary Committee and Raul Labrador and Mike McCall and Martha McSally have made public a bill that they're proposing on immigration reform. I don't know if you've seen that, and if you have, I wanted to know what you thought about that.
Well, I guess what I would say about that, and, you know, there have been other proposals floated, too, is that, look, I agree that we need to end chain migration. We need to end the visa lottery. We need to move to a system of immigration, the kind of point system that places like Australia have, where they actually take into account, you know, your education, your skill level, your financial background. But all of that should not be put in place in exchange for amnesty, because, like I said, in the past, Congress has reneged on these kind of deals. Put all those things in place. Let's see if they actually are kept in place for long enough to actually start reducing the illegal population inside the country and to stop people coming across the border. And then maybe, yeah, we could talk about what to do with those who remain here. But do it up front? No, that's exactly what we did in 86, and it didn't work.
You know, just in my inbox just a few minutes ago came a new article by our mutual friend Daniel Horowitz, and here's what Daniel has reporting. Border crossings have doubled since the spring, and he says his headline says, elitist solution, amnesty. So Daniel says just what you just got through saying. When you promise more amnesty, you get more illegal immigration. They're seeing what's happening. The tea leaves are looking really good, and so more people are crossing the border, which is exactly what you just predicted. All right, so how about the RAISE Act in the Senate? Is that getting any consideration at all, the one that Tom Cotton was very much involved in?
Well, it doesn't seem to be, and you know, the whole problem in the Senate, of course, is that even if you had the overwhelming majority of Republicans on board for doing that, you're down to a one or two vote margin, and unfortunately, we have enough liberal Republicans in the Senate that it makes it almost impossible to put through the kind of real reform that we need, one that actually cuts down on the illegal immigration coming into the country.
I want to switch gears and talk about the Election Commission, but is there anything further that you want to say about this immigration issue before I transition here?
The one thing I would say is that those who say the system is broken, that's not true. It's just that for decades, the will to enforce our immigration laws wasn't present in Washington. And if we actually do sustained enforcement for a while, we will significantly reduce the population of illegals in the country.
I believe that. You know, look how border crossings dried up when President Trump was running and when he was made the nominee. Suddenly, the crossings just, look, the word gets out. And it was just simply his word. It really wasn't any kind of legislation. So right. I think that that's absolute proof of what you just said. All right, so I just read an article today. I guess it came out yesterday. And this is the title. It says, White House plans to destroy Trump Election Fraud Commission's voter data. And let me, by way of background, say to all of you listening, in case you've been snoozing through this particular story, the Election Integrity Commission, of which Hans was a part, along with J. Christian Adams, along with Ken Blackwell and others, headed by former Secretary of State Chris Kobach from Kansas, a great, great group. We were so excited when they were nominated to this commission after the election. Well, it's been disbanded. It was disbanded concurrent with the dispute between Donald Trump and Steve Bannon. So first of all, let me go back to this. Hans, what possible connection did the disbanding of this commission have with the downfall of Steve Bannon? Why that connect?
Well, I'm not sure there really is any connection between the two. Look, the commissioners weren't really told why the commission was being dissolved. I have to speculate on why it is, and I'm pretty sure I know why it is, and it's really two reasons. One, yeah, we did get the data we requested from some states, but a very large number of states refused to give us the publicly available voter data we asked for. And without getting that data, it's impossible for us to do the kind of research we need to do. And second, the left filed lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit against the commission. They were very well funded, and the lean staff that the commission had from the vice president's office for the last 3 months, they've been spending 100% of their time fending off what are really frivolous, meritless lawsuits, but it takes a lot of time and effort to do that. So in other words, the commission's work had ground to a halt, and for the foreseeable future, it didn't look like we'd be able to get anything done because of the lawsuits and the refusal of states to cooperate.
Let's come back to that in a second, but what about this Politico story that the White House plans to destroy all the information that you had gathered? What does that mean?
Well, it means that, you know, they're not going to do even the most basic research with the data that they have. I think it would be a better idea for them to, remember, when the president signed the executive order dissolving the commission, the White House issued a statement saying that they were actually going to hand this task over to the Department of Homeland Security. Well, without that data, it's going to be pretty hard for DHS to actually do anything about it. And I'll give you an example of what they could do. They could take the voter registration list from a particular state and run it through the DHS database and use it to identify non-citizens who are in the DHS files who also happen to be registered. Well, that's highly illegal. But if they destroy the voter data, they won't be able to make those kind of comparisons.
All right, so that makes you think, okay, you just think, maybe somebody in that White House does not want any kind of election integrity. That seems hard to imagine. We know the left doesn't want it, but why in the world would there be forces inside the White House who would be hell-bent on disbanding and then also destroying your information?
That's a question I can't answer. I just don't know, Fanny.
All right. All right, so you and Christian Adams wrote an article, kind of your comments on dissolving the Presidential Election Integrity Commission. And you talk about the reasons why. Let's talk a little bit further about that article, Hans. You know, in the interest of public information. I have to tell you, this article I printed out, the print is like less than tiny. I'm not sure why, so you're going to have to help me here. I can't even read it. I can't because it's just itty bitty. All right, so what points did you and Christian want to make to the public about what happened with this commission?
Well, look, from the very start, there was this hysterical reaction to it. And there was unbelievable opposition from Democrats and progressive advocacy groups. And if you wonder why, I tell you the answer to that's very easy. This week, someone leaked a memo that was put out by a liberal group, I think it was the Center for American Progress, that talked about how Democrats had to get amnesty and citizenship for Dreamers. Why? It was a political necessity because they need the votes of those illegal aliens once they become citizens to retain power. That, I think, explains what was going on with our commission, because one of the things we were concentrating on is the fact that we know there are non-citizens registering and voting all over the country. We don't know how many there are. We don't know how significant it is, but it may be enough to be affecting some election outcomes. And it's very clear the left doesn't want any that information coming out, doesn't want to do anything about it. They want non-citizens registering and voting because they think it will help them win elections.
Well, and we think it already has, I think, in Virginia. And
yeah.
Also, it wasn't in Minnesota, in Al Franken's race.
Yeah.
Was there some element of, I know that he only won by 300 votes against the sitting senator, who was Norm Coleman. I don't recall, it seems to me there was some intersection of illegal voting there.
No, there was, based on an estimate that some academics did of how many non-citizens voted in the 2008 election, even though they did it illegally, they said in their paper that it's very possible that non-citizens gave Al Franken his victory in 2008.
Christian's organization, the Public Interest Legal Foundation, has done studies. I think they've targeted three states, Virginia, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania, and
right.
They've actually verified that there are illegal immigrants voting, right?
What they found is more than 5,000 non-citizens had been removed from the voter rolls in Virginia after having cast 7,500 ballots. And by the way, one of the towns where I think close to 300 non-citizens were found to have voted and then been removed from elections was Newport News. The reason that's important is Newport News is inside the district in Virginia, which was just decided by lottery. You know, they had a state legislative race. The votes were exactly even. So they picked the final final winner by picking a lottery. And whether the Democrats or Republicans controlled the state house depended on the outcome of that race. And one of the towns where non-citizens were voting was in that side of that district.
Wow. Well, hey, what was the outcome of that lottery? That coin flip?
The lottery. The Republicans' name was picked. So the Republicans retained.
Oh my goodness! I didn't know.
House.
Oh, I didn't know that. Now, see, that's how precarious and why this is so important to the left. But obviously, it's
yeah.
important to people inside the White House, too. And I don't mean the president, because the president actually tweeted just this week, as Americans, you need identification, sometimes in a very strong and accurate form for almost everything you do, except when it comes to the most important thing, voting for the people that run your country. Push hard for voter identification. And he tweeted something else, too. So he's still committed to this. I don't even know. What is the next step on this, Hans? Is there any recourse?
Well, people who are concerned about this, I think, have to closely monitor the Department of Homeland Security to see if they are actually going to do what the White House has told them to do, which is to investigate and research the problem of election integrity in the country. And I have to say I have my doubts that they have the people there that know enough about this to do it. So all I can say is, well, you know, people like me and Christian are going to do our best to make sure that the administration actually does something about it.
And by the way, we'll put this article that Hans and Christian wrote called The Obstruction of a Vital Election Integrity Commission, because you need to hear about this and share it with others. Oh, boy. All right, Christian. Golly, why do I do this? You're not the same person, and I do know the difference. Hans von Spakovsky, Heritage Foundation, always a pleasure. Thank you so much, Hans, for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Sandy, and happy New Year.
Yeah, same to you. Talk to you soon. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. The power proclaimed by Jesus here was prescribed for a specific purpose, so his disciples would become his witnesses. The Greek word for witnesses here is martyriesu, where our English word martyr is derived. Jesus has given us the blessing of the indwelling Spirit of God, not merely for personal consumption, but for function. As good as it feels to be filled with God's Spirit, we were filled for function.
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
1MillionDads.com is where men can learn and grow together as men of the cross. Close families and even national revival begin at home with strong fathers in the faith.
I really like how the website provides so many articles. They're all just dead on to help me as a father.
Go to the website, read the articles. You're not alone. 1MillionDads.com. Lead or others will.
Hello, friend. I'm Pastor Ron Jones, and I'm glad to tell you something good has come to American Family Radio. Something Good is a daily half-hour Bible teaching program that I'm hosting at 6:30 p.m. Central Time. In a world full of so much bad news, we're glad to bring you something good. Learn more at somethinggoodradio.org. That's somethinggoodradio.org.
Here for your encouragement and your walk with God. This is David Wolin with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Throughout the Gospel of John, several themes pop up over and over, and one of them is the mind-blowing concept that Jesus is both God and man. Back then, everyone understood the man part. After all, he was standing right there in front of them. But the God part, well, that was something else. When Jesus told the Jews that Abraham had rejoiced to see his day, they replied, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?" And Jesus answered them, saying, "Before Abraham was born, I am." Notice he didn't say, "Before Abraham was born, I was." He says, "I am." Make no mistake, Jesus was claiming to be God. Try out Anchor Devotional in print every month. Visit getanchor.com.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. President Trump had a White House party yesterday for the swamp he promised to drain. The celebrants included Senate and House leaders determined to extend an amnesty to illegal aliens ostensibly brought here as children and to their extended family members, including those who broke the law to bring them here. To be sure, their host opened the event with certain conditions that could make such an amnesty less of a magnet for untold millions of additional aliens prepared to sneak in. But by the time the cameras recording the proceedings shut off, the president signaled that he'd accept whatever the swamp agreed to regarding the wall and other security enhancements. If the pro-amnesty crowd is allowed to dictate such terms, many of his betrayed voters will stay home in November with devastating consequences for his presidency and agenda, and for our country. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you. I mentioned earlier that Numbers USA, who is the largest think tank and grassroots organization, on this issue, giving you an opportunity to contact your congressman about making sure that chain migration and visa lottery are stopped and E-Verify is instituted. And so we're going to put that a link to that action item on our Facebook page, because if you are as concerned about this as I am, you might want to avail yourself of that. And the other thing is, one other issue I told you a few minutes ago, and this will be my third time during the show, that we have to make sure that our president keeps his promises. That's what Steve Bannon always said, and it is certainly what we expect from him, and not only on immigration, but also on other things like transgenders in the military. That's something that we're very concerned about. And as of last Tuesday, because of a lower court ruling and judges stopping the President Trump as commander-in-chief from stopping transgender persons from entering the military, the judges were allowed to prevail. And so now they are actually signing up, and you will be paying for, you know, surgeries and hormones and the rest of it, plus our military will be less safe. And so AFA has issued an alert on this, urging the president to protect national security. If you go to afa.net, or go to our Facebook page, I'm urging you to just very easy, just sign the petition and we'll get it to the president, because that's another promise that he just must keep. All right, so we have been talking to you this week about our partnership with Preborn. Preborn is an organization that provides ultrasounds to pregnancy centers. That's in part at least what they do. And we're asking you to help do that. $28 will provide one woman seeking an abortion a free ultrasound. And you can do the math about how many times 28 would it provide for more than one woman. That's a pretty incredible number. And 80% of women who see their babies in these ultrasounds decide to keep the babies. If you would like to help, you can help by calling 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. Or you can go to afr.net, and make your most generous donation. Well, joining me today is Dan Steiner. By the way, Dan is the founder of Preborn. And over the period of time when he's been leading it, 80,000 unborn children have been saved, and countless women have come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. He is president and founder of Preborn. Before that, Dan graduated from the University of Indiana School of Business. He was the national director for Mayflower Transit Company, and lots of business background, but he left that to work on something so important. He now is the president of the Crisis Pregnancy Clinic of Southern California, which includes the Hollywood Women's Center in Los Angeles County. Must have some incredible stories. Dan, thanks for joining us this morning.
It's a joy to be with you, Sandy. Thanks for having us on.
That's a very early morning in California, if you're calling me from there, which is very impressive. Dan, exactly what does Preborn do? I understand the ultrasound portion, but what kind of is your mission, and how does it intersect with pregnancy centers?
Yeah, great. So we both operate and lead pregnancy centers across the United States to do simply two things. Our mission is to glorify Jesus Christ. That's the CEO of Preborn, the Lord of heaven and earth, and to help pregnancy centers, lead them and run them to save more unborn children from abortion and lead more of their mothers to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord. We believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the answer to abortion and all the problems, by the way, that are discussed in the Sandy Rios Show and many of the other wonderful community, you know, national conscious kind of issues that you guys are making us aware of on a daily basis. The answer is the Lord Jesus Christ, revival in our country. And there's over 350,000 women that walk in the pregnancy centers of America every year. Every one of them is there with an unplanned pregnancy. Most of them are single, 67%. And so, you know, they're frankly living in sexual sin. And here's an opportunity for us to speak into their lives. They're in a you know, unplanned pregnancy. It's not something that they were expecting. And so they're looking for answers. And we have the answer they need. And that is the truth that their baby isn't a blob of tissue. It's not, you know, it's not this mass of cells. It's a living human being, their baby with a heartbeat, and we give them the help that they need, truth about the baby and the help that they need. That's maternity clothes, that's, you know, referrals for doctors and whatever that they need so that they can carry that baby to term. Then after they've carried the baby to term, 2 years worth of help, all of it for free, diapers, cribs, car seats, you know, the whole shooting match, so that they can have the ability to get beyond the pressures that so frequently cause young women to want to abort.
So, Dana, that's a kind of a distinctive, I would think, of your ministry, because many pregnancy centers are not blatantly clear about the gospel. They're not all driven by that specifically. God may be at the center of their mission, but that maybe Jesus and the gospel isn't clearly stated. So that really does distinguish you. I'm from Chicago, so I was really involved with Crisis Pregnancy in DuPage. And they were they were very evangelical and very clear about their position on the gospel, and folded that into the message to the girls for sure too. And I agree with you. That gives greater power. And you know, if you just save a life, that's important. But it's kind of like feeding the hungry is not enough if you don't tell them about the bread of life. And so
Yeah, that's right.
Let me give the phone number for a second. It's 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. Or go to AFR.net, AFR.net, to make your best donation to preborn. $28 will provide one ultrasound for one woman. And, of course, that's just a baseline. If you can afford more than $28, will you multiply and figure out how much money you would like to donate at 877-616-2396. Dan, you've been in this for a long time. What is the thing that keeps you going and keeps you passionate about it?
Well, certainly the opportunity to see lives changed when they receive Christ. Eternity is at stake here for these mothers and for the babies. If a woman comes in and she chooses to keep her baby, but she doesn't receive Christ, and both the mother and the baby live out their lives apart from the gospel, and they go into a Christless eternity, not a good thing. It's not the end game. So save the mother, save the child. We must both save the baby and save the mother's baby, the mother herself of the baby. And so that is very motivational, as well as, I got to tell you, Sandy, when you hold one of these little babies, you look into their eyes, you see that two-year-old that 2 years ago was in our counseling room thinking of, you know, her mother, or thinking of aborting her, and you think, my goodness, what would have happened if she hadn't seen the truth about her baby? And that's super motivational. It really is.
It is. There's no question about it. And to see people's lives changing, lives saved, but I'm with you. The transformation of their lives to the gospel is the greatest. That's the greatest miracle. Like when Jesus and the man was lowered into the room, and he forgave his sins, and then made him whole physically. And people were astounded. Yeah. They didn't understand the connection, but Jesus was clear. What is the greater thing here? The greater miracle is the first one. The forgiveness of sins, the healing is secondary. So, Dan, what's next for Preborn? What will you do with this money?
Boy, we currently, as we're on the radio today, Sandy, are supplying all of the ultrasounds given to young women in the entire state of Florida, Washington, D.C., New York City, most of them in Chicago, Los Angeles, Philadelphia, Atlanta. But we want to bring under our belt and influence for the gospel centers in Houston, in Dallas, expanding gospel-centered, effective ministry throughout the United States. And so we're thankful for AFA and for you to be able to ask people to join with us. $140 will actually underwrite five of these. Here's the deal. With an ultrasound, 80% of the time, if a woman sees her baby, she will change her mind. Now, if we just try to talk her out of it, maybe 40% of the time will be successful. But boy, that ultrasound makes all the world of difference.
You know, I can confirm that that's absolutely true. And Dan, what a great vision you have. What a big one. And so we want to help. It's 877-616-2396, 877-616-2396, or AFR.net, AFR.net. Dan Steiner, president and founder of Preborn. Dan, thanks for everything that you do. God bless and keep you, and hope to talk to you again soon. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.